The Capital Confidential podcast is brought to you by the Times Union, the leading newspaper in New York's Capital Region. Subscribe today or visit online at timesunion.com.
How do you say that?
Demosthenes.
Is that a Greek name?
Yes.
I thought that was. That sounds nice.
You want to deport an undocumented person? Start with me, because I'm an undocumented person.
How do we beat him in an election?
We will. I'm going to run against him.
I wish you would. I wish you would, Dad. I would. Oh.
There are things in here that are unobjectionable because they're not that effective. So, yeah, sure, I'll vote for a distinctive license plate. Sure, why not?
Jim, you had your press conference at 4 o'clock.
You're having a press conference now?
That's right. I'm having a press conference.
Well, is this your space here or is it public?
No, it's my space.
Oh, this is your
space. Don't interrupt.
Okay.
The audio you were about to hear is a reading of excerpts from the transcript of the June 4th parole board hearing for Joyce Mitchell at the Bedford Hills Correctional Facility.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your name for the record.
Joyce Mitchell.
Miss Mitchell, I'm Commissioner Davis. I'm joined this morning by Commissioner Demosthenes.
That's Demosthenes. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Together with Commissioner Demosthenes and I make up your parole board for your reappearance interview, okay?
Yes.
I've noted that you appeared before a previous panel back in, what is it, September of 2017?
Yes, sir.
At which time you were given 24 months hold, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
This is a new opportunity, however, before two commissioners who have not met you. We are bound by the previous board's decision. We will interview you, we will deliberate, and we will notify you of our decision, okay?
Yes, sir.
Very well. You've been interviewed before. You sort of know the format of what this is about, right? We'll ask you some questions related to the background offense, what your life has been like prior to the offense, and what you've been doing now to move your life forward in a positive way, all right?
Yes, sir.
And do you have any questions?
No, I'm just hoping that...
I understand. This is quite an emotional experience, appearing before the board, so just relax. We're going to have a discussion to go over what we've indicated, okay?
Okay.
It says here that your crime of conviction is promoting prison contraband in the first degree. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You've entered a guilty plea in Clinton County for this offense, and you received a sentence of 2 1/3 to 7 years. Is that also correct?
Yes.
I have it here that you've been incarcerated for approximately 3 years, 11 months, and 23 days?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so before I go into the instant offense, I really want to get an idea of who you are, right? You're so much more than the instant offense, right?
Yes.
So tell me about who you are. Who is Joyce Mitchell?
Is Joyce Mitchell. Joyce Mitchell is actually a very loving and compassionate person. There has been issues in my past with my mom and I didn't have a good relationship. My first marriage was with a very abusive husband. I went through a lot with him. I'm not using it as an excuse or anything, but for the most part, I've always been a very respectful person as far as community goes. I worked as a teaching assistant before I worked for corrections. I'm the type of person that, if you ask people, I'll give you the shirt right off my back to make sure that you're taken care of. I mean, I'm not trying to make myself sound like a saint, because I'm not. I'm far from being a saint. I'm just a normal, everyday person that... I never really had a good self-esteem, because, like I said, issues with my mom and my ex, I just always had a very low self-esteem. But I'm just hoping that I would get the chance to prove to you and the community and everyone else that, you know, I can be that respected person I once was.
So let's talk about that. So it says once again that you are criminally convicted for promoting prison contraband in the first degree, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that. What happened there?
Well, I started working for the correctional or up Dannemora in 2008. And that's where I met these two inmates, because they worked in different shops that I'd been in. And in 2015, when I got involved in this, actually when inmate Matt stated that they were breaking out, when he said it, I should have said something to someone, but I thought he was, you know, just blowing steam, you know, just saying it to hear himself say it, that they were going to break out. And I just laughed it off, but I should have never done that.
Okay.
What I should have done was, I should have told somebody right then and there.
And these two individuals, those inmates, David Sweat, is that correct?
David Sweat and Richard Matt.
And Richard Matt, okay. and both of whom successfully escaped from the Clinton Correctional Facility.
Yes, sir.
Did you aid them in that process?
I brought in the hacksaw blades. There was a screwdriver bit. And like I said, I did a horrific thing. I did a terrible, horrific thing. People in the community, members of the correctional facility, just everyone.
Okay.
Everyone involved, everyone around us suffered so much because of what I did.
Okay. And so because of that act, there must have been some sort of relationship to facilitate such a level of comfortability. So tell me, what was your relationship like with David Sweat and Richard Matt? What was that about?
Well, Richard Matt was actually in my shop at the time that this happened. David Sweat wasn't. He was in another shop. And it started out, I was going through a period in my life where some women do that have low self-esteem, like myself, go through. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to tell it. I wasn't feeling good about myself. And as much as I know my husband loves me, my mind was... And we had a lot younger woman start working there, a beautiful little blonde, and it seemed like she was just going with him to different things, and they were laughing and joking, and even when we walked out at night, it seemed like she was, I was walking behind them, and my mind was like, I guess I'm going to lose him because I'm older. I wasn't tiny anymore. I had gained weight. I didn't feel good about myself, and the compliments that the inmates gave me, I should have seen it coming.
Okay. And so these compliments inmates gave you, they were given to you by other inmates other than Sweat and Matt?
Just Matt and Sweat.
Just Matt and Sweat. And what types of compliments would they give you?
That, you know, you're a beautiful woman. You should be treated better. And just they would say things that I guess was what was going on in my mind because of my low self-esteem and, you know, things. I guess I was putting things there that weren't there.
So when...
I know I was putting these things that weren't there.
So when they gave you those compliments of being beautiful, they made you feel in a special way?
Yes.
And just want to be clear, so when you indicated that you had these feelings of not being attractive and jealous in some ways of your husband and this beautiful blonde, this is not the husband that physically abused you years ago, right? This is your present husband?
Yes.
And his name is... And also worked at the correctional facility as well?
Yes.
Very well. And so back to those compliments that you received from those inmates, Sweat and Matt. When did the relationships progress further from this just being verbal compliments to more of a physical engagement?
I know they stated that I had sex with them, but I never had sex with either one of them. Yes, I did bring the pictures, but that was because inmate Matt just kept after me, and Well, I should say that day, inmate Matt literally threatened to kill my husband and go after my son and my brother also.
And we're going to talk about that, but I still want to focus on the instant offense. I want to get an idea of what were the interactions between the two of you to lead you to believe that it is okay to offer, as you described it, blades and screwdriver bits to these men, right? Despite having received a negative encounter by having your head forced to his groin area. Tell me about that.
Because inmate Matt, after that incident, that's when he stated that if I didn't do what he wanted, that if anyone found out and they were removed from the shops or the prison, that he would get my husband killed quicker than what he had already planned.
And that made you fearful of this person?
Yes.
But yet you continued to have a relationship with him, where you begin to not only work with him in your official capacity, but you introduced those contraband items to the facility, and to him specifically, correct?
Because he was telling me that he would kill my husband, and I know that he can get to my husband anytime he wanted. I'm not trying to make excuses for anything.
I'm just asking the questions. You answer as you deem appropriate. And so when he requested these items of contraband, did you know it was to plan an escape?
No.
What did you think?
But I did refuse to do it. You do need to know that I did refuse to do it, but he would not leave me alone. He just kept threatening my husband.
And at what point in time did you come to know that the items he requested was, in fact, to aid an escape?
When he told me that inmate Sweat had went down underneath or wherever it was, he had went and started working on getting out.
Uh-huh. And at that point, as an employee of that correctional facility, did you relay that information to any security or official?
No. I did not, and I should have.
Did you share it with your husband?
No.
Did you share it with anyone else?
No, I did not.
And after that, you continued to bring in these items of contraband, is that correct?
I brought the hacksaw blades and...
And how did you get them introduced to the facility?
I just carried them in my bag. Inmate Matt told me to take the hacksaw blades, break them in two, put them in hamburger and freeze the hamburger and bring them in.
And did you bring this hamburger directly to the inmate?
No.
How did you reach the inmate?
The officer, Gene Palmer.
Was there someone else involved? An officer?
The officer that was arrested afterward, Mr. Palmer, he would bring the hamburger.
And was it the impression of this officer that he was just offering them a hamburger? Or did he, in fact, know there was a contraband hidden inside of the hamburger?
I don't know if he knew there was anything inside it or not.
Did you tell him there would be a blade inside the hamburger?
No, I did not.
Did you ever have a discussion with him that there was a blade in there?
No, I did not.
You just made the agreement that please transfer this hamburger to the inmate?
Yes.
And how many times did you exchange these hamburgers with blades in them to the inmates?
There was only once in the hamburgers, and then there was one time they put it between two pieces of cardboard.
Okay.
Because inmate Sweat would... Sorry, not inmate Sweat. Inmate Matt would use the cardboard for his paintings that he did.
Okay. And so when was it determined that this would be the night to effect this escape? What was the discussion you had with the two inmates, inmate David Sweat and Richard Matt?
Richard Matt was the only one that discussed it with me. And he just told me that he would give me some kind of signal. It might be a hand signal at the end of the day when they're standing back waiting to go on the go back. And that's how he told me.
Did you receive that hand signal?
Yes, I did.
And what type of hand signal was it?
It was just held his hand like this.
Like in raise of a fist?
Yes.
And at that point, you knew it was the night. And what involvement were you to have in the facilitation of that escape?
I was supposed to be at that manhole that they were going to come up out of with my Jeep.
Okay.
But I will tell you right from the beginning, I had no intention of ever showing up. It was just, like I said, it went from being, made me feel good, the compliments, to as it progressed, it became intimidating. And he went from being intimidating to I had that fear.
Was there a specific time that you were scheduled to meet them at the manhole?
I was supposed to be there at, it was either 11 o'clock or midnight. I don't remember the time now.
That would be 11 p.m.? Okay. You were there?
No, I was not.
Where were you?
Actually, when he gave me the hand signal on my way home, my chest started tightening and tightening, and I got home and I was sitting in my chair and my husband thought I was having a heart attack. I ended up in the emergency room.
Okay. So what time did you arrive home that evening, approximately?
Well, we stopped at the Chinese restaurant and ate, and I really didn't eat that well there.
And you had dinner at the Chinese restaurant with your husband, is that correct?
Yes.
And during the course of that dinner, did you share with your husband that approximately 11 p.m. or midnight you were scheduled to meet those inmates?
No, I did not say anything, sir.
And so you returned home from the evening, and at that point, did you share with your husband that you did commit with those two men to meet them at the manhole?
I did not say anything. It was the next morning, and actually, I'm not exactly sure the time. When I turned my cell phone back on, I kept getting the beeping for messages, and one of them was my son, who lives in... And he said, Mom, what's going? I said, I'm sorry.
I want to reflect for the record that Miss Mitchell is having an emotional experience and she's crying and wiping the tears from her eyes. We will take a moment and you can continue when you're ready.
I'm okay. He asked me what was going on. He said state police are looking for you. So I got off the phone with him and we phoned the state police department and they said they were looking for us. Come to find out, it was Clinton Correction that was looking for us, and they wanted us to come right in. And I explained to them that I was laying in a hospital bed waiting to be released. But when I did get released, my husband and I went to the local police station, and they started talking to us about it.
And what limited information did you share?
Did I share with the police?
At the local precinct, yes.
At first, the first day when I got released, when they were asking if we knew anything about it, I didn't tell them I knew anything about it. But the next morning I went back out and I told them everything. I told them exactly what I'd done, what the plan was, and I tried, And I went back 2-3 days right in a row on my own. Like I said, I know I didn't...
And for the first day you met them, you weren't truthful? You had given them limited information?
I wasn't completely truthful, no.
And in that space and time, that essentially allowed these men to advance in their escape efforts, correct?
Yes, sir.
Further creating terror in the community in which they escaped from, would that be correct?
Yes, sir.
And during the interactions you've had with these two inmates, once again, David Sweat and Richard Matt, did you know of their crime of conviction and why they were being housed in that prison?
Yes, I did, sir.
And can you recall for me what was David Sweat in prison for?
I believe it was for killing a police officer.
Okay. And Richard Matt, he was in prison for?
I believe for killing his former boss.
And both of these men were given a lengthy sentence, which included life, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And so with the understanding that, you know, David Sweat in particular killed a law enforcement officer, someone who serves and protects the community, did you think it was a good decision to let someone like that back into the community?
No, sir. No, sir.
And it was also reported that Richard Matt had killed someone, that being his boss. Did you think that was a good decision, to return someone like that into the community?
No, sir. But as I told you, I was fearful.
And so, do you believe you have the right to go against the courts and determine when someone should be released by any means necessary and return them to society?
No, sir. No, sir.
Particularly someone who committed the ultimate crime of taking someone's life. Not one, but two individuals, correct?
You should have... Like I said, I did completely wrong. No one will ever know the remorse I feel.
And that's a lot to bear. So let's talk about what your thoughts are today. We established the horrific nature of the offense, exposing these two men to the community who should have otherwise been incarcerated for a lengthy time. You've been incarcerated approximately 3 years and 11 months. Plenty enough time to process what happened here. What are your thoughts about what you've done?
Thoughts about what I'd done? I did the most horrible thing that anyone could ever do. It's inexcusable. It's unforgivable. But I'm just hoping that you see today that I can be that respected person again.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now with a Bible, without a Bible, I can tell you right now if I go home, I'm going to be there for my family, my friends, and the only thing I'm going to do is the right thing.
Okay.
I did a horrible, horrible thing, and I can never take it back.
Okay.
If I could... I would.
I'm Commissioner Demosthenes. You mentioned earlier that, you know, that they were planning to escape. And when that statement was made, that you laughed it off, thinking they were just blowing off steam. But as an employee of a prison...
I know I should have.
You are supposed to report all improprieties, correct?
No one will ever know how wrong I was. I don't even know how to put it into words. I will not ever be able to take back what I did. This is something that's going to live with me for the rest of my life. I will take this to my grave because there's nothing I can... I can't take it back. And no one knows how much I wish I could. I wish I could. I wish I would have done the right thing.
Why you didn't? You have them transferred.
Pardon?
Why didn't you have them transferred?
Transferred?
From shop.
I can't do that, ma'am. Only security.
You have a supervisor, correct?
Pardon?
Do you report to a supervisor while employed at the correctional facility?
Yes.
There was someone above you, correct?
Yes.
You could have spoken to the person and asked that they be removed from your shop?
Yes. Like I told you, I know I did a horrific thing. I'm so sorry. I just wish I could show everyone how sorry I am and how much remorse and how I will never be able to forgive myself. This is something I can never, never have go away. It's always going to be with me. Everyone in the community is always going to be suffering this. Employees are going to suffer from it. My family. There's nothing that I can do to change what I did. I'm a horrible person. I am a horrible person. I should have never did what I did.
Okay, so while you were at the hospital, why didn't you call the watch commander to warn them on what is about to happen?
I don't know. I was just so scared. I don't know how to explain it. I know I did wrong. I know no one wants to believe me. No one wants to give me the chance to prove that I'm not a horrible person that I was at that time. I just want that chance to prove it.
But you realize that you were instrumental in this entire fiasco, correct?
Yes.
Which put the entire community
I do realize.
Fear of their lives, not knowing what's going to happen. There are two killers out there in the community.
I do realize that. That's why I said that that's the more unforgivable and the most horrific thing that I could have done. It's inexcusable what I did. I even wrote that in my letters to you, and I hope you got that letter.
And thank you, Miss Mitchell, for answering those questions with Miss Demosthenes. I just want to go over, we discussed an awful lot throughout this interview. We talked about the incident offense and what facilitated the escape of these two men to escape from their prison environment. We talked about your former years and your abusive relationship with your husband, and how as a single mom you became remarried to this young man you're married to today and the support he offers you. We talked about your behavior while confined, in terms of your active programming, your management of your behaviors, in terms of misbehavior reports. We discussed your official opposition and official support to your release, as well as community opposition to your release. I want to fully mention that we do have a certificate of earned eligibility that you received. We will consider that as well. Okay, I have no additional questions. You have the last words.
Do I have any last words? I just want to reiterate how very remorseful I am. So sorry that I was that horrific person. I am not that person. I have done whatever I need to do to make myself that better person, and I can tell you right now that you will never see me in any kind of capacity as far as going against the law if I can go home.
Okay.
And even if I'm still here, I'm not going to. I just mean, upon release, you would not have to ever worry about that. I have a loving family that is waiting for me. I have a granddaughter I haven't seen in 4 years.
Okay. Well, Miss Mitchell, we thank you for your interview. We're going to take this time, we're going to deliberate as a panel and discuss all of what we've reviewed with you today. And we'll notify you in several days of our decision, okay?
Okay, thank you. And I'd also like to just state that part of my emotion today is that even though Mom and I had a rough time, I was just informed that a few days ago that she just has a few days to see her. She only has a few weeks to live.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. We'll keep you and your family in our prayers. God bless. Thank you. Be well. And that's our show. My thanks to Mike Bucifaro for inspiring this reading and for participating in an ill-fated attempt to record a different version on Thursday night with me. And thank you to the voice actors you heard, Times Union editors Sarah Tracy and Susan Mahalik. If you enjoyed this bonus episode, leave us a rating and review wherever you download podcasts. Tune in next week for our dramatic reading of The Wiretaps from former Assemblyman Nelson Castro. Until next time, podcast adjourned.
Just heard, I tried to get you.
Ah! This day sucks!